Well, good morning, and once again, welcome to Christian Baptist Church as we gather in this quite warm summer Sunday morning to worship God. And as before we get into our time of worship, I'd like to make just some of the announcements that are in the bulletin, draw your attention to them. There's an update in there from Keith Prophet on the Newmarket food pantry and all the work that we continue to do year after year to support that great cause that's right here in our community. This is an affluent community that we live in here in Newmarket, but there's also those who are not able to make it. There are many on limited incomes, and everything we can do for any of the services around Newmarket brings blessing from God through us to them and creates opportunity for us to witness, just witness love, that's all. So the food pantry is one of those things that we continue to support. Thank you, Keith, for your continuing leadership in that area. Update there from Habitat, that we had the 120 people sign up on July the 1st at Ferry Lake to be part of this Habitat build in the fall. And this build is, we are the title sponsors. One Church Newmarket is the title sponsor for that build. And so the name of the church in Newmarket, no particular denomination, no particular congregation, but the church in Newmarket then will have its name as part of that community event. So your participation in that is welcomed as well. So the preaching schedule is in there for the next 5 weeks all the way through August. I'll be on vacation during August. I'm doing a pulpit exchange with Kathy McIntosh from Uxbridge. Next Sunday I'll be preaching in Uxbridge. And she'll be here because we have our vacation Bible school, which starts tomorrow at 9 o'clock here. And I see a little cheer coming up from Thomas there in the front there. And there'll be, we've got at least 20 children who will be coming. So it'll be quite a busy week. And you're welcome to drop in if you want and see what's going on at VBS. It runs from 9 to 12. And your neighbours, children, your grandchildren, your little children are all welcome to participate if they come along. So Kathy will be here to wrap up the Vacation Bible week next Sunday, and I'll be over in Uxbridge, and there's the rest of the preaching schedule there in your bulletin for you to review. Stick on your fridge. At the back, after Vacation Bible School, it's become a bit of a, I don't want to presume anything here, it's become a bit of an annual treat that the Obukuro families invites everybody up to their place in Queensville, not Holland Landing, as it says on the back of the bottom, but up to Grant Street in Queensville for s'mores and some mosquito bites for on Saturday following the VBS. So it's all are welcome. Just bring your insect repellent and a lawn chair, and everything else will be there. And we had a great time last night. So it's always a good time. So I'm going to call on the praise team now to come forward and lead us into worship this morning.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I was surfing the internet last night, trying to come up with ideas of things to talk about today. And at first, I looked up the Great Commission and Psalms telling about these sorts of, or telling about the Great Commission or anything that's related to that, and nothing really struck me for inspiration. So I went the other way and typed into Google, ignoring the call. And of course, there is a WikiHow page of 7 steps to ignoring a phone call. So the first one is let the phone ring. 2 is listen to the voicemail. 3 is call back only if necessary. 4, be prepared for an excuse because you've missed their call. 5 is filter your phone calls. 6 is have a list of accepted numbers of people and things that you only want to hear. And 7 is have a list of unwanted numbers, which is kind of the same as 6, but unwanted numbers of people that you want to block and messages that you want to block. So, how many times have we done this with God? You know, how many of us have you know, put God off and put him on hold? And whether intentional or accidental, it happens all the time. And you know, we often let life get in the way and just put God on hold entirely. But let's put him first today. Let's put him first right now and open our hearts and our ears to what he's calling us to do within our own lives. So John 5:25 reads, "Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." He's certainly calling us to shout his praises to the world. Isaiah 6:8 reads, "Then I heard the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' And I said, 'I am here, send me.'"
You may have gathered that the theme for today's service, the song of worship, is being sent and going in response to that command. I'm going to ask our ushers now to come forward and take up our tithes and offerings this morning. For all of your blessings you have showered on us, we return now to you these our tithes and our offerings. Lord, we pray that you will multiply them for your kingdom work and bless it in our hands. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, Elizabeth, Jonathan, Alicia. Any other bed there? Anybody going on vacation this year? Anybody going to take time away at the lake or the cottage or something like that? PE, I think. Come on in, Andrew. I want you to do something when you're out and about today. Summertime and school is far away and you're not thinking about school at all. But I want you to think about other people. I want you to think of one thing you could do, one way you could behave that would show the love of God to even strangers, kids you've never met before, wherever you're going. What's one thing you could do? Just be kind. If you're going to light up somewhere and someone's pushing, just let them go first. Just be kind. Be gracious. Be nice to people. That way we can show the love of God to everybody we meet. We can begin. Where can we begin practicing that? At home. At home, Jonathan, Elizabeth, Alicia, Thomas, Dorothy. And Deborah. I guess I could be kind to you and just call you Deborah, right? So this is just a very simple thing. Very simple. Thank you, Abigail. Very simple thing. It's just be kind to people. Be nice to people. Give way to people. That applies to us too as adults. Just being gracious and kind wherever we meet. That begins to show that the love of God that we have inside us, we can show to everybody else. So let's pray that during this summertime, wherever we meet a stranger, particularly a strange child, we'll just be kind. Or to the child, not strange child, a child that's strange to us. No, we have a child we haven't met before. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks for this beautiful day and this wonderful season of summer and times of vacation and getting away. We ask you now to bless these children. Bless them today, bless them every day of their lives. Protect them. Let them grow in faith and love and knowledge of you and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, bless them as they go downstairs to their Sunday school class. Amen. We just wrapped up a three-sermon series on radical, and the feedback was quite interesting, positive, affirming that Jesus is a radical redeemer. He's not the candy floss Christian. He made radical calls, radical statements, and it deserves a radical response. So now let's get into some of those responses might be for us as Christians if we're going to follow our radical Redeemer as living radical lives for him. And I've chosen two texts for today, and I've handed out some scripture verses to some people who will help us as we go through the message this morning. So now we're well into the summer season now, and many have already started their vacations, people are already away, and if you're not going away, it's a different pace. It's something that startled me. I still remember being startled by it when I first came to Canada. This rapid change of pace that begins to take place around May time as school ends, and I was like bewildered by this, like the office was empty during the summer. Like it was an entirely different culture from like June to September, and it took me a couple of years to get acclimatized. Because of course we had 8 months of snowmobiling and 4 months of very poor sledding, right? So we have a very, very different climate here than we do in Canada. So during the summertime, people are off and out. The weekends, they're away, vacations, cottages, and things like that. So while we're taking time off, the gospel doesn't take the time off. God is not on vacation. And you can be sure Satan is not taking a vacation. He doesn't sleep either. And he is out and about on high alert. In 1 Peter 5:8, it says, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. That's a continuous tense. He's around all the time. And so the devil's not taking a vacation. And my proposal to you today is we should be aware that we should not be taking a vacation either from the gospel, from the call, from our radical redeemer. We should think about how are we going to be this summer that's going to be radically different than previous summers. So while we're in vacation mode and enjoying the summer weather, we need to be asking ourselves, what are we going to continue to be doing for our kingdom? And I say, I've chosen two texts for today to reaffirm this fundamental calling of Christ and the church. And these two texts, I hope, will put us in a proper context for how we should be going about our summer season. So who's got reading number one? Amy.
Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded to you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age.
This verse is very familiar to all of us. It should be very familiar to all of us. It's called the Great Commission. This is the end of Matthew's gospel. Jesus is risen. He's meeting with his disciples. And he's saying, you know, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Just pause for that for a moment. This is the risen Lord Jesus Christ standing there saying, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And the very next thing he says is, therefore you go and make disciples of all nations. And as we read that, we have that sense of this word go, meaning to go and make disciples. But there's two interpretations there of that verb go. It's actually the participle in the Greek. It's actually going. Going, therefore, make disciples. So there's various views of that, but it also means as you go about your daily life, as you go about living, make disciples on the way as you go, make disciples. But obviously there is the go, because he says go and make disciples of all nations, therefore the church had to go to all the nations, and we're pretty much done taking the gospel to all the nations, all the tribes. There's even translators now who are writing languages for tribes who don't have a written language, so they can translate the Bible into that written language and teach those tribes the word of God. So the gospel has gone out. There has been that sense of go, get on a ship, get on a plane and go. But there's also that sense of as you go about your daily life, make disciples. Introduce them to Jesus. You don't have to get on a plane to be a missionary. All we have to do is walk out through those front doors and the mission field is right there. All you have to do is show up at your office or your place of work or your school tomorrow. Okay. And there's a mission field. There's an opportunity as you go to make disciples. Now, second text, who's got reading number two? Thank you, Steve.
1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. but do this with gentleness and respect.
So I appended these two verses, this command to go, this command as you go, make disciples, and this other one from 1 Peter that says, always be prepared. Always be prepared to have an answer. The conversation comes up. Always be prepared to give an answer for the faith that you have, for what Jesus has done in your life, and give the scripture truths about Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, as crucified, risen, died on the cross for our sins. Never be ashamed, never be unprepared to share what the cross means to you and what the cross meant to Jesus and what it means for that person too, should they care to listen to what you're saying. So this idea of as you go, be prepared to give an answer. And that changes things around a little from actually going out and being an evangelist to actually living like an evangelist. Living like someone who has something to say and wants to share it with people who haven't heard the message yet. So we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared and we need to be ready. Who's got the third reading from Ephesians 6? Thanks.
With your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace.
So there's an idea of in the Ephesians text of the full armor of God is being ready. Your feet are shod with the readiness to give the gospel message. So there's go, there's be prepared as you go, there's be ready. Have your feet shod. And there's two interpretations here, is that you should be sure in your faith. If you're not a disciple already, you can't make disciples. If you're not already got the feet of the gospel, the shoes of the gospel of peace on your feet as you walk, you can't take that message to someone else. So you be sure first, and then you be ready. As you go, be prepared and be ready to give that message. Now, it's as you go. Things will come up. Opportunities will just present themselves. Okay? It's not like you're going out looking to preach the gospel to someone, but an event occurs. And suddenly there's an opportunity. Suddenly you find yourself in a conversation with someone and you sense in your spirit, I know where this is leading. I'm glad I'm prepared. Who's got reading number four? Go ahead, Nadia. Here they are, one day, going up to the temple for the 3 o'clock prayer meeting. They weren't particularly thinking of being evangelists. They weren't thinking particularly of meeting someone. They just, as they were going about that daily task, that weekly task, whatever it was, going up at 3 o'clock to the temple for the time of prayer, they encountered a man, and they were ready. They were ready to encounter him with the name of Jesus Christ. They were ready to bring healing on that man. And I can tell you, they're no different than you or I. We can pronounce healing too in the name of Jesus Christ. We can pronounce salvation and forgiveness of sin to a complete stranger in the name of Jesus Christ and bring healing to their spirit, bring healing to their soul. So as we go, be prepared and be ready, because there will be these encounters just as you go about your normal daily business in a lineup at the grocery store. A conversation starts with a complete stranger. Listen to the Spirit. Is this a time, Spirit? Are you telling me? And the Spirit says, yes. Hang around here for a moment. She's going to ask you a question. Make the time to be there and answer her question. Engage her or him in a conversation. See where it leads. As you go, be prepared, be ready. But reading number 5.
This is John 4:7-9.
Familiar text. Familiar text.
The Samaritan woman came to draw some water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink of water." His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The woman answered, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan. So how can you ask me for a drink? Jews will not use the same cups and bowls that Samaritans use."
Thank you. A chance encounter. Yeah, I know it's Jesus. I know it's Jesus. She didn't. She didn't know who it was. It was a chance encounter, complex encounter, a man and a woman at the well. And Jesus began conversation. He didn't say, "Are you saved?" He didn't say, "What church do you go to?" He began a conversation with this complete stranger. Now, yes, he's Jesus. He knew the woman's heart. He knew the woman's life. But the human Jesus just started a conversation with a woman at the well. A chance encounter. Jesus was ready. We need to be ready too. And what was the result of that? Reader number 6.
Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" They came out of the town and made their way toward him.
This woman's encounter with a complete stranger changed her life. So significant was that chance encounter that she forgot why she was at the well. She left her water jar because something far, far more important had just occurred. And she left the water jar and goes back into town to tell all her friends, "I think I've just found the Messiah." That's what the kind of impact a chance encounter can have if we're ready as we go and we're prepared to sow the seeds of the gospel of Jesus Christ into people's lives. She became the first evangelist. Samaritan woman. Married 5 times. Living with a man that wasn't her husband. But her encounter with Jesus, her encounter with the truth, changed her life and undoubtedly changed the lives of others too. So as you go, be prepared, be ready, and listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen to the Holy Spirit because He will nudge you to speak or not to speak, to go over there and talk to that person, to go over there and stand by that person. The Holy Spirit does nudge us, and many of us have had those kinds of encounters where the Holy Spirit has prompted us to speak or to go somewhere. Reader number 7.
Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the deserted road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship.
Okay, I'm going to change verse 27 there. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch. So the Holy Spirit says to Philip, "Go down to the road leading to Gaza." Now Philip was like one of us. We'd say, "I got no plans to go to Gaza today. It's not on my agenda. Can't be the Holy Spirit speaking." Right? That's how we would respond to that kind of, "Why would I want to go there? It's not, I'm not going there today. I want to go there. God, the Philistines live down in Gaza. I'm not going there." And Philip didn't. He listened to the Holy Spirit. He responded to the Holy Spirit. He was ready. And as he went, prepared and ready, on his way, he met the Ethiopian eunuch, and an opportunity arose for him to explain something to this man who was struggling over a text of scripture, or struggling with something in his life, as we might encounter someone on our way. And we have the opportunity then to guide them, and off they went, never seeing each other ever again. But the Ethiopian's life was changed, and no doubt when he went back to the queen, Candace, and into the court and back into his home country, no doubt other lives were changed too. Just because Philip changed his agenda and said, okay, I'll head down to Gaza. Don't want to go, but I'll go. Chance encounter, guided by the Holy Spirit. So listen, be tuned into the Holy Spirit speaking to you each and every day. Leave room for the Holy Spirit. Leave room for the Holy Spirit to speak to you. While we're on vacation or we're kicking back, the devil is still at work. The gospel is still at work. The battle still goes on. Reader number 8.
Matthew 5:13-16. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven.
Thank you. This is Jesus. He's saying, you are the salt. You are the light. As we go into the world, as we go, as we prepare, remember we're carrying the very light into the world. We're carrying the Spirit of God in us. Well, the Spirit of God indwells us. When we come alongside that stranger, or even a friend or a family member, let that light shine. Let your words have that saltiness, that salt as a preservative. Okay? Have that preservation aspect to it as we speak the truth of God's love into the lives of others, as we just demonstrate being loving, caring strangers, whomever we encounter this summer. We have to let our light shine. We have to give testimony. We have to be ready to speak into someone's life the truth that that person needs to hear. And we'll see how God affects that individual. Now, we've got someone with us today who was asked to give testimony, and it's Lisa. I'm going to ask Lisa to come forward. She has a testimony to give for herself and from someone else too.
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
I'm used to standing here.
Do you want me to use the microphone?
Okay. Hold on. I can go up there. Oh. Okay. Hi. So I want to share a couple experiences within my prayer life. A few weeks ago, I was speaking with Tammy after church, and just catching up, and we were talking about whether Ryan and I wanted to grow our family and have more kids, and I told her that yes, we've been trying for some time with no luck at all. We had hoped to have another kid before I was 35, but it wasn't working out, and I was starting to get a little worried that it wasn't in God's plan for me. And Tammy responds with just, well, have you brought it to God? Have you let him know what your wants are? And I just looked at her blankly and said, no! Why haven't I brought this to God? So that night in my prayers, I brought it before God and I prayed. And I'm happy to say now that yes, we are expecting our second child to come. On February 7th, 2016, 3 months and 3 days before my 35th birthday. So I got pregnant the very, very next try. So I'm not telling you this just to announce our pregnancy. I don't want you guys to make the same mistakes that I do. Like, these moments happen all the time, not so much anymore, but they happened all the time where I would struggle first and then ask for God for help. So it really woke me up to doing this, and I don't say duh as much anymore, just bring this to God. So I really want you guys to, you know, I'm encouraging you to start your days asking for guidance throughout the day rather than getting lost first and then seeking for help out of like my messes or your own messes or whatever. And another really cool thing that happened, it just happened last week actually. So often in my prayers as well, I will ask God for, you know, for him to show himself to friends and family, but that's usually where I stop. So, however, last Monday, I specifically asked for God to show himself to our neighbors and friends, and then furthermore, I asked him for them to come to me if they have any questions or need any help. And then the very next day, I got a text from the girl across the street, Tanis, and she was saying how she's reading the Bible. She started reading the Bible and found God, and then was looking for a church to go to and was wondering if I could help with that. So I thought that was I was at work and I read it and I was like, no way, that is amazing. And I immediately told everybody at the crane company that I was working for. But I just thought it was really, really neat, and I really wanted to share that with you, that just, you know, anything is possible, you know, through God and through Jesus. And if you just keep talking to him and keep praying, he'll let you know what to do. He'll let you know. You just got to open your heart and your ears to it.
Thank you. Thank you, Lisa. Just, there's two examples there. As Lisa said, Tammy was just ready. As she was engaging in that conversation with the friend she's known for some time, she was ready to sense the Spirit say, have you asked God for that? And the recipient said, oh, never thought of that. And there was that word of encouragement from one sister to another. And then Lisa's testimony there of the neighbor. Always be prepared. As you go, always be prepared. Be ready to listen to the Spirit speak to you. And be on guard, you know, because the devil is not taking a vacation. And there are souls out there who are lost, desperately lost. And they need you and me. They need you and me to come alongside in the strangest and weirdest of places, okay? And just give them that word of encouragement and that word of hope from the gospel. Let us pray. Father God, as this beautiful season, we love the summer. We love the summer, Lord, and we're going to take some time out and kick back and go on vacation and be by the lake or wherever it is we are, Lord. But we need your Holy Spirit to continue to guide us and direct us to give word of hope and truth to those hurting people that are going to be on the campsite next to us. Lord, they're going to be in the restaurant next to us. They're going to be in the lineup behind us or in front of us. And they need to hear your truth too. They need to hear that God loves them. And so, Lord, give us opportunity as opportunity arises to be ready. And as we go, Lord, I pray that we will be prepared to give that hope and that truth to the people we encounter. Lord, hear our prayer, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. As you go from here today, as you go prepared. Go listening for the Holy Spirit to prompt you to speak to that other person. That is how the Word of God spreads. That's how the love of God is shared with everybody we encounter. So go in peace and go prepared. Amen.